There's a wonderful little children's story that some of you may have heard about. It's called The Other Wise Man. It's actually something that's read around Christmas time that recalls the life of the fourth wise man, if tradition holds that there are three, and his name is Artaban. Now, Artaban was planning on meeting the other three wise men and journey to Bethlehem to see the Christ child, and he was laid down with treasures that he might bring to the child, just as the other wise men were bringing treasures as well. Well, along his route, as he was on his way to meet the other wise men, he came across a man who had a fever and he was dying. So he took one of the treasures and sold it that he might have money that he could buy the medication necessary that the man might live. And of course, he was delayed on his journey. So by the time he gets to Bethlehem, Jesus is gone. Mary and Joseph are gone, and the wise men, well, they're history. Well, Artaban is not going to give up. He wants to find the Christ child. And for 33 years, he continues to journey. And every place he goes, he's just a little late getting there. Most of the time, his tardiness is because there were people in need, and he would sell his treasures as he would help them find healing. Well, he finally arrives in Jerusalem, and he is walking down the road, and there, coming the other way, he encounters a man carrying a cross. And there, finally, at the end of his journey, and at the end of our Lord's earthly journey, they meet. But it's not the last time. Artaban was really hurting that he did not have anything to offer to the Lord. But at his passing, he saw the ascended Lord who said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have taken the treasures and you have used them to minister to me." Well, it's a wonderful story. And it's great to hear that kind of wonderful ending for our friend Artaban. But I don't think that's a great way to live life. How would you like to live life always missing our Lord? Just missing him by that much. That's not the way to do it. The best way to live our life is to stay as close to Jesus as we possibly can. And one of the ways that we can do that is by following Mary. For where Jesus is, you can find his mother. Following Mary, following the one who, as the scripture said tonight, is a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and with a crown of 12 stars, as John pictured her in his Revelation vision, the Theotokos, the mother of God. Following Mary, if you followed Mary to Bethlehem, there you would find the Christ child, there in the manger, the Savior of the world, cradled in her arms. If you followed Mary during his earthly ministry, you might encounter a wedding at Cana. And there at the wedding at Cana, you would see Mary talking to her son about the need for wine. And he would say, "Woman, my time has not yet come." But she would say to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." She knew, and a miracle was given. Follow Mary, and you will hear the words of eternal life being spoken by her son. Following Mary, you will end up at the foot of the cross. If you followed the other disciples except for John, you wouldn't get there. You'd be someplace fleeing Jerusalem. But following Mary, you will fall at his feet and there watch drops of blood fall upon Mary's garment. There she is kneeling with the hope of redemption, our Savior, her son on the cross. If you continue to follow Mary, you'll follow her to the tomb and then to the upper room. And there the ascended Jesus would come forth and you would see him as he is. And then later with Mary, you would see tongues of fire fall upon the apostles as the gift of the Holy Spirit came and gave grace and power to the church, that the church might go on and thrive until even this day and on until the end of time. But if you keep following Mary, you'll come to another blessed event. Following Mary, you'll come to her Assumption. You'll come to the time where she was assumed body and soul into heaven by God. Mary, as Archbishop Fulton Sheen once wrote, Mary becomes the first human person to realize the historic destiny of the faithful as members of Christ's mystical body beyond time, beyond death, and beyond judgment. Mary always seems to be the advent, or the beginning, the coming, of what is in store for man. She anticipates Christ for 9 months as she bears heaven with her. She anticipates his passion at Cana and his church at Pentecost. And now, in the last great doctrine of the Assumption, she anticipates heavenly glory. And the definition comes at a time when men think of it least. Oh, how we need to think of our heavenly home. We're at a time where this can be a great message of hope for the church. It was declared as dogma in 1950 by Pope Pius XII, but it had been a part of the church's teaching and the fabric of her belief since the very beginning. As Pope Pius said in his document establishing the Assumption, in their sermons and speeches on the feast day of the Assumption of the Mother of God, the Holy Fathers and the great doctors of the church were speaking of something that the faithful already knew and accepted. All they did was bring it out into the open to explain its meaning and substance in other terms. So what Pope Pius XII did is establish as dogma that which was believed by all people at all times everywhere. It's not a new doctrine. Affirmed by the Church Fathers, with the consensus of the bishops and the faithful throughout time, and reaffirmed by Vatican II, we read this in our Catholic Catechism. Finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all stain of original sin when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up, body and soul, into heavenly glory, and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things, so that she might be the more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of lords and conqueror of sin and death. In our world of uncertainty, a world where we see things kind of unraveling, in a world where there are wars and rumors of wars, where there is violence and misapprehension, where there is anti-religion being fostered in so many pockets of society, it's at this time we need this message of hope that she was the first fruits of this new humanity. Words again that were spoken as they describe this great work that God did in the life of our Blessed Mother. Fulton Sheen went on to say, in the doctrine of the Assumption, the Church meets the despair of the world in a second way. It affirms the beauty of life as against death, where war, sex, and sin multiply the discords of men and death threatens on every side. The Church bids us lift up our hearts to the life that has the immortality of life that has nourished it. In other words, with everything that is going on, do as we do in the Sursum Corda in the Eucharist. Lift up your hearts. There is a heaven yet to be gained by the faithful within the church. Today we have a message of hope given by the Blessed Mother. Her Assumption bids us to continue to follow her. As we have followed her through the journeys of Jesus, we can follow her into heaven. As we attain our own heavenly glory in our faithful walk before God. Pope Emeritus Benedict, in 2008 it was, at Castle Gandolfo, told the congregation on the Feast of the Assumption, today's feast impels us to lift our gaze to heaven, not to a heaven consisting of abstract ideas, or even an imaginary heaven created by art, but the heaven of true reality, which is God Himself. So today, in the midst of all that is going on, as we think about the Assumption of our Blessed Mother, lift up your hearts, for your redemption draweth nigh. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.